Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Dream Machine. My name is Patricia.
And my name is Aaron.
And today, we're going to finally be catching up with the DreamWorks films that came out in 2023. So, yeah, this is going to be really interesting considering of the massive amount of praise that the films of 2022 received. So let's see if the first film that came out was able to ride in the coattails of the major success that we were able to see with the two previous films.
Yeah, so are we ready to release the Kraken, or is this going to be Sharks L 2.0?
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, how could we not bring this up in this situation? I was who I always needed, even when I couldn't see it, even when the waves came crashing down. I was always somehow ashamed, trying to always hide in my skin. Now I feel the rain come pouring down. We are going to talk about Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. And the one thing I want to say, though, about this, before we preface over the film, is that, I mean, the way that this movie was released is, I think, very highly controversial. So, let me bring up 2 points. So, many people have suggested that the trailer for Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken was misleading. And so they were saying that apparently what we saw in the trailer is not exactly what we got in the final product.
Or the other way around, in which some people said that it reveals too much of what we got in the final product, that it gave away what the story was going to be about, it gave away the conflict, it gave away some crucial things that we were supposed to see in a movie that a lot of people were supposed to be invested in. But very similar to Elemental, once they saw the trailer, they pretty much just said, nah, and then just skipped it.
Yeah, and then another thing seems to have happened is that apparently when we were looking at this in the theater options, like, you know, you got like 2 showings and both of them were pretty inconvenient in regards to seeing it. And here's the thing about this, every, you know, showing only happened like once per day. Now, that's unheard of for, like, you know, a movie like this. Usually there'd be like multiple showings going out throughout the day, so it makes no sense of like, why is it that, you know, there was only like 1 showing per day for some of the movie thing. Now, this might just be because, you know, in the Northwest, but here's the thing about this. Elemental, you know, at the time, you know, got multiple viewings, you know, like multiple time slots and everything. Like, you can see it in the morning, afternoon, or the evening, or whenever. But, you know, for Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, there's only 1 time during the day that you could actually see it.
Yeah, that was really weird. I tried my very best to watch this movie in theaters, but
we had to give up.
Yeah, we had to, because I have 4 movie theaters that were close by to me, and every single one of them had it at 1 time slot, and it was either in the late afternoon, the evening, or really, really close to the morning. I could not go to any of them, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, doesn't usually a movie, no matter what kind, animated, live action, documentary, whatever, doesn't it usually have multiple time slots?
Yeah, I mean, what's the deal with, like, the movie companies and the movie theaters deciding that, you know, okay, well, we're gonna give it, like, you know, what effectively is a limited release.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, because, like, you know, if you, not everybody's gonna be available at those times. There's a reason why movies have multiple time slots, like, you know, to get as many people in as possible. But, you know, like, I mean, it's not difficult to, like, show a movie time and time and time again. Like, you know, they only go on these hard discs or anything like that. Or if you're on the IMAX, obviously go to some of the big roles. I mean, like, but, you know, all it would basically be is that, you know, the dork would come in to, like, clean up the theater and, like, clean up all the chewing gum and, like, all the, you know, the popcorn off the floor. Then they would just do the movie again. Like, you know, like, why was it that it had to appear that way? It's just so strange.
It was very awkward, yeah.
I don't get it. But anyway, that's pretty much the beginning of, like, before we even talk about the movie itself.
Oh, yeah. When this movie did come out, man, did it get a thrashing from the critics.
Yeah, like, what did it end up again? Rotten Tomatoes? Like,
it ended up being 66%, so it's in Crystal Skull territory.
It is in Crystal Skull territory, but mind you, it's a DreamWorks movie, so it's Dream Machine at the end of the day. So, I guess, you know, to start off with, I mean, in regards to addressing all the controversy, now that we're on the other side of this film, I mean, like, now that I look at the trailer and now I look at the final product, I mean, I guess, in a way, it did give a lot away in some aspects, but at the same time, I would also say that, I mean, it didn't give, like, a false, you know, idea of what this movie was going to be, because I really thought it was going to be, like, you know, our protagonist, you know, and our antagonist basically just going at each other, like, you know, in a high school environment. I thought this was going to be Mean Girls, effectively, yeah. Like, but no, apparently it's not that.
No. So, yeah, now, Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken, when it first premiered in theaters, it was one of, if not the lowest point in DreamWorks. This is currently the lowest grossing DreamWorks movie ever released. It had a $70 million budget, and it only made back $46.
Apparently a talking Boss Baby apparently is the moneymaker in DreamWorks for some goddamn reason.
Yeah, I have no idea why. So it premiered on June 30th of 2023, and like we said before, pretty much nobody went to go see this movie because of the stupid time slots, and the people who did went to see this movie, they hated it. Saber Spark hated it. Animat thought it was a disappointment. Cell Specs thought it was a disappointment. Nobody liked this movie. And we're thinking, oh great, we're gonna be stepping into another low point in DreamWorks after we were doing so well with The Bad Guys and Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. We thought that this was supposed to be DreamWorks's comeback after what essentially was at least a 5-year spell of just releasing mediocre film after mediocre film after mediocre film.
Yeah, just like it's, I mean, here's the thing about this, like, I mean, to be honest, like, I look at this and I think, you know, this had some promise. Like, you know, I think, you know, the idea of, like, you know, DreamWorks have never really done this type of movie, really, when you think about
They've
it.
They've never and, done, yeah, they usually delve with comedy. They've never dealt with a coming-of-age story where the premise is about a girl who is awkward towards her peers, and the twist is, she's a Kraken, and she's trying to fit in with human society.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against, you know, things like that. I mean, like, it's great that DreamWorks is looking at, like, different types of stories, and the only thing I think that will always be a concern is that obviously people will look at, like, the idea, like, you know, this is, like, once again dealing with sea creatures, and when was the last time we dealt with a movie that dealt with sea creatures in DreamWorks setting? That was Shark Tale.
Yeah. And not to mention that a lot of people also compared this to the recent Pixar films. They said that it was essentially a combination of Luca and Turning Red.
Yeah, but I think another thing as well is, like, this is, like, also, like, oh, here's, you know, DreamWorks again taking another shot at Disney, like, you know, like, oh, hey, here's, you know, this character that sort of looks like, you know,
Ariel,
yeah, like, I think Cassandra, I think her name
is. No, Chelsea.
Chelsea, sorry, where did Cassandra come from? Chelsea basically is our antagonist of this movie, and so, but here's the thing about this, like, you don't know this at the beginning, because the way that, I mean, the thing is that the trailer, unfortunately, did give a lot away that we're going to get this final battle scene between, you know, Chelsea and Ruby, and, you know, but, you know, the movie, in a way, does kind of throw you, because it kind of makes it sound like, oh, hey, these are look like they're basically two friends, and, you know, that just basically just wants to end this war that's going on between, you know, the Kraken and the mermaids.
Yes.
Effectively. And so, you know, here's the thing I think is the disappointing thing, I think, of our main arc in this, is that, you know, Ruby doesn't realize that she's a Kraken to begin with, and then she, you know, discovers that when she falls into the water, that basically just turns into, like, this massive monster.
Yeah. This is giving me Little Mermaid 2 vibes. You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so for those who have not seen it, and for those who are interested in learning about my personal thoughts about it, go check out the Disney Toon Studios podcast that I did with Chris, aka Roddy C from TV Trash. So the movie is about Melody, who is Ariel's daughter. It takes place 12 years after the original Little Mermaid film. And you have this evil antagonist, Morgana, who is the sister of Ursula. And Melody does not know that she's a mermaid because she was trapped in the palace for 12 years with a wall surrounding it. And then finally, she gets an opportunity for her to make it out of the wall and learn that she loves the ocean. She loves the sea and she wants to explore the sea. Gee, where have we heard this before? Am I right? Anyway, so she meets up with Morgana thinking that, oh, you know, she was treated unfairly by King Triton, which, by the way, she does not know that that is her grandfather, the King of Atlantica. So Morgana tells Melody, would you mind getting me my trident that King Triton had stole from me a long time ago? That way I can make you into a mermaid permanently, and you can be happy, and you can live in the ocean, and you don't have to worry about your overprotective mother. And then, long story short, she gives Morgana the trident, and she basically causes, you know, chaos, and basically Melody has to go and stop Morgana by using the trident. And yeah, it feels very similar to what happened in Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken, in which she has to give Chelsea the trident because they're trying to stop a war between the Krakens and the mermaids, where several years ago that the mermaids were trying to take over the oceans from the Krakens. And one Kraken had defeated the Mermaid Queen from taking over everything using the trident. And the trident was sealed away for 15 years. And then we have Chelsea coming along pretending to be Ruby's best friend, saying, oh, we're just alike. You're the awkward one. You have to hide your identity. Well, not me. I want to be free. I don't want to be hiding away from civilization. I want my people to be happy. And by getting this trident, we can go over to the Kraken Queen saying, we don't want to fight anymore. But it's all a lie.
Yeah, but and I think that was really disappointing. I thought, like, you know, I thought maybe it would have been cooler if, like, you know, the Mermaid Queen, like, was dead, and, like, this is, like, you know, the daughter, you know, the unknown daughter of, like, you know, that Mermaid Queen. Like, she wants revenge for, like, well, I mean, I think that would be, like, be better motivation, I think, rather than, because, like, you know, they gave the impression that, you know, this Mermaid Queen is dead. Like, how on earth did she, you know, come back? It's not explained.
Well, I mean, she was never dead to begin with.
I know, exactly. Well, I thought they implied that she was dead.
They make it sound like she's dead, but she's been hiding for so long.
Oh, right.
And so she's been disguising herself as a teenager, pretending that she is the cool one and that everybody loves her and everybody wants to be like her. And that way she can be able to fool everybody. Here's the thing. They try to do a social commentary about the stupidity of human beings, which...
This is just lazy writing.
This is Invader Zim levels of bad, in which people are so stupid that they don't realize that a Kraken, by the way, who has blue skin and kind of like bluish green hair and tentacle hands and no spine, is a human being. And the excuse is, I'm from Canada. And so this is like Chalk Zone levels of ridiculousness, in which Snap said, I'm from Greenland. In Greenland, everything is cold. That's why I'm blue.
I just like, maybe that's what they, you know what, they should have made a nod to that, maybe, like, you know, saying, oh, hey, I'm from Greenland, like, you know, and that could have been an interesting nod.
Yeah, but of course we have to make Canada jokes because Canada.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's, again, like, it's just, having all, here's the thing about this, making all the people stupid is just, like, it just gives you too much ability to get away with so many bad story plots. In all of this. I just think, you know, when I also heard about that, like, you know, most of humanity is stupid, it's like, oh my god, they are going to basically they are giving themselves, like, no rules, basically, to their world, effectively. Like, you know, they can basically be as stupid and as crazy and as, like, nonsensical with the world as much as they want. Why is it that no one, you know, believes that, you know, there's not, you know, Kraken living among us? Because, oh, they're just idiots. That's all.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's just, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah, only reason why they believed it in the first place was because the friend of Ruby had posted it on his social media pages, and then everybody believes in it.
Again, like, it's just lazy writing and lazy commentary, effectively. Like, you know, I get what they're saying, but it doesn't really fly. It doesn't really fly really all that much. Like, you know, I mean, I've always been, like, you know, cynical about humanity. Don't get me wrong about that. I mean, but at the same time, like, you know, this world, you know, the one thing I always want, you know, movies to kind of come back with is that, yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't really set a positive message, basically, about, like, you know, saying, oh, hey, you know, most of the humans in this world are absolute idiots, and, like, you know, will believe absolutely everything. I don't buy that. I think, yeah. You know, like, to make the majority of your movie characters effectively, you know, dumb, effectively, I just think is, I think that's just so lazy and just so, you know, uninspired and so awful. I just think it's just, you know, why would you, I mean, it's okay to say, like, oh, hey, there's, you know, this world is, like, full of people who are, like, able to do things, but, you know, they obviously are just, like, misled on certain certain things, to just flat out call them stupid and dumb, it's just, I just think that's ridiculous, I think. You know, it's just, it's a, you can't really build a, you know, modern society out of that effectively. Like, you know, these people don't sound like, you know, they must have had to do something to, like, come up with, like, building this town and, like, you know, building this world around them, and, like, you know, running an economy and doing other things like that. They must have some, you know, sense about them, surely?
I guess not, considering that one of the best businesswomen in this town just so happens to be Ruby's mother, Abigail, who's a real estate agent, and people have absolutely no idea that she is a crackin'. And not to mention about Ruby's father, who happens to do, like, these TikTok videos.
He looks more like a monster than everybody else in the entire movie.
Yeah, he looks more, yeah, he's a, yeah, he looks more like a monster than anybody else in the entire movie, yet he goes on social media on, I don't know if it's supposed to be Instagram or TikTok or something, and he's making, like, these, you know, like, these little models inside of jars where he's doing, like, this ASMR voice.
Yeah, is everybody on, I mean, I guess everybody's on social media doing their stuff and everything like that, but, good grief. Like, you know, it's just, it's, you know, also, you've got, like, one guy who is apparently, like, you know, he does, like, he's, like, one of, like, Ruby's friends who apparently, like, does game streaming, and apparently he has, like, 140,000 fans, which is, like, you know, if he was doing that, he wouldn't be at school. Like, you know, I guarantee you, he'd be in front of his computer, like, the entire damn time, basically making his money doing that. I mean, like, maybe I may be wrong, like, you know, someone may probably does regular streaming on a regular basis, probably correct me, but, you know, like, I just think there's, like, some also on top of that as well, like, I just think there's some unrealistic expectations, I think, set in this movie. Like, saying, everyone around you is stupid. Everyone around you also now has social media accounts who, like, have lots of fans. Everybody around you has, you know, this, that, and the other. I just think this world could not be more unreal, and dare I say, probably the most real people probably in this whole, you know, damn movie are probably the Krakens themselves.
Well, what? I mean, the closest equivalent to, like, a real person is the captain, and again, there's not too much.
The captain has, like, you know, Alex Jones levels of, like, you know, I mean, actually, he is right about some of the stuff that he says, so probably, you know, he's probably, like, the reverse Alex Jones, I guess you could say, but, you know, like, yeah, he is, you know, a crazy person in himself. He kind of reminds me of, like, to be fair, though, I mean, like, he kind of reminds me of, like, some of, like, you know, who was the name of the crazy character in Gravity Falls, like, you know, who,
oh, yeah, the crazy old man.
Crazy old man, yeah. Yeah, I know, you know who you're talking about. But, I mean, it's he sort of kind of reminds me of that in a way, but, you know, so I can understand why, like, he's, like, old and bitter and everything like that, you know, like, because, you know, apparently he was attacked by a Kraken at some point, you know, during his life, which obviously is feasible because, obviously, you know, they do exist. So, yes. Like, it probably is possible that he did see one day.
Yeah, and, apparently, yeah. So he was, like, saying some backstory about that, you know, he lost his home because his wife broke up with him, and so he ended up in a boat, and a Kraken attacked him, and he's been trying to look for a Kraken ever since. So, yeah, it's playing off in that Captain Ahab approach about, like, okay, this whale named Moby Dick, he took my leg, I want to get revenge on him.
Yeah, and also you've got, like, you know, you've got the crazy uncle as well, which every like, you know, family movie always has, like, those, like, crazy uncle people, like, you know, who can't shut up and basically tells everybody everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's also a Kraken as well. And apparently in this world, apparently the female Kraken are, like, huge and mighty, and the male Kraken are barely small.
Yeah,
and,
again, yeah, giving me Turning Red vibes, in which, like, oh, the women in our family are the ones who turn into red pandas.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's, I mean, again, like, it's just, all right, you know.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do. It's like, okay, we're going to do a social commentary about puberty. And when you become a teenager, a lot of things happen to you. You go through social anxiety, you go through panic attacks, you go through growth and change in your body. Okay, how do we do that in a very creative way? And I think that in Turning Red, they did an amazing job.
Because, Turning Red did it better.
Yes, I agree. In fact, I would say several things that Turning Red did better than Ruby Gilman, but I'll get to that later. But first, the puberty thing, in which, like, okay, so Ruby was able to turn into a giant Kraken when she fell into the ocean for the first time, trying to save a guy that she has a crush on named Connor. And then after a while, she starts getting panic attacks because she is trying to comprehend the fact that she just turned giant. And very similar to in Turning Red, when she starts learning about her abilities, she gets better and better at it. And then another thing that was better in Turning Red, as opposed to Ruby Gillman Teenage Kraken, was the relationship between the mother and daughter, where the mother in Turning Red was very strict and in her ways and forbade her daughter from turning into a red panda because of everything that was able to happen in previous generations. Well, in here, in Ruby Gillman Teenage Kraken, she forbids her daughter from going into the ocean because she knew it was going to happen. She was trying to protect her because of, you know, the fact that she would turn into this. And also, she was trying to get away from her mom because she wanted to live her own life. Again, going into Turning Red, there was a reason why that May's mom did not want to be with her mother, because she was so controlling. She was so in her way. She was so strict. She essentially felt like she could never please her. So that made a lot of sense on why there was such this distance between mother and daughter. But in this
one, at the same time, like, you know, the reason why she was like that is because her own mother was also like that too, and you know, she eventually had to rebel against her own mother basically to get to, you know, May's dad effectively. And so I mean, obviously she carried that resentment on, you know, onto her adulthood years. And you know, that's the reason why I mean this is the thing that kind of runs in it. This is the thing, like, you know, these movies, the one thing I will give credit for is that, you know, you got to be careful, like, you know, to about your offspring, you know, about the way that you treat them, because, you know, you might be setting them up basically to fail themselves.
Yep.
You know, the same way that you have. Exactly. In regards to your being. So that's the one good thing I would say I'd give movies like Turning Red and Teenage Kraken and something like that, like, you know, they are showing, like, you know, what happens when, you know, where generations upon generations of families, you know, constantly keep doing things to themselves.
Yeah,
you know, like,
we've seen, exactly. Yeah, in recent years, generational trauma has become the main antagonist. We saw this with Encanto, Luca, Turning Red, Strange World. It has become the standard.
Well, Coco, to a degree, as well, as also yep. generational trauma.
Yes, that is true. Yes. Yes. Coco did have generational trauma. So, yeah, over the past few years, we have seen that as one of, or the main protagonist, antagonist. Yeah, antagonist of a story. And it's worked, most for the most part, pretty well. And I can see what they were trying to go with this here. They're trying to do something similar to Luca, in which, like, don't go to the surface. Don't go under the ocean, because, you know, you'll be this. You should stay here. It's safe. And you can be able to live a normal life and hide of who you are. And, you know, nobody will be able to accept you if you're...
In regards to Agatha's reasons for, like, you know, she basically just, like, did a one-and-done deal. Like, you know, she got the trident off, like, the Mermaid Queen, hid it away, like, you know, where no one could potentially get it unless it was Ruby herself. And then she basically turned around and said, look, you know, this isn't what I want my life to be anymore. I want, you know... interesting would have been, like, Agatha had discovered that, you know, during a time that she'd been fighting the Mermaid Queen, she actually ended up, she discovered that she was pregnant, and she, you know, wanted to protect, you know, her unborn child, and said, look, I'm not going to put myself in danger anymore. I've got someone else to look after her. You know, her grandma, you know, her mother didn't see it that way, and so obviously, you know, they had that fight over that, and then she decided to, you know, to go away, and that's the reason why she's been gone for 15 years, because she'd been trying to protect her family.
It's implied that they're trying to tell that story, because when we saw in the
don't imply it, tell it. Like, it's still a good story. Like, you know, don't... Why would you imply... To have something like that, why the heck would you imply it?
Yeah, I know.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, there's a time in which show don't tell can work, but if it involves with something like this, in which you know the motivation behind one of the characters, you need to tell it.
Yeah, it's like, it's just... imagine if, like, you know, in Avatar The Last Airbender, it's like, you know, it's sort of implied that, you know, Zuko had, like, a very difficult relationship with his dad. You know, like, he's just like, oh, why is he, like, you know, railing us through Fire Nation? Oh, you know, well, you know, reasons. Like, you know, come on. It's like, you know, just, we know what the problem is here. Like, you know, it's just, it's, I just think that the one problem with Teenage Kraken, I don't know if you agree with me this or not, I feel like the real main story drivers in this story were somewhat pushed to the side, and we were too busy concentrating on things that didn't need to kind of, like, you know, need expanding upon. I don't know, like, I think with Ruby and with Chelsea, I think they should have just immediately started them off as rivals and have that going on there, and then maybe work it towards, like, dare I say, like, you know, I really hate the fact that Chelsea is the mermaid queen in this. I would prefer if, like, there was a difficult thing where, like, you know, Chelsea is motivated for, like, you know, revenge for what happened to, like, her own people, but then she realizes that, hang on a second, like, you know, why am I continuing, like, this endless cycle of violence between the Kraken and the mermaids? And she starts kind of questioning herself about what to do, but she's, like, conflicted between her loyalty towards the mermaids and the fact that she wants, you know, away from, like, you know, to have her own free life as well. Like, you know, have a relationship with Ruby in that way.
Yeah, because, you know, she is the only one who is able to relate to Chelsea because they're both underwater creatures. They both have to hide their identity.
And vice versa. Chelsea can also relate to Ruby. Yes. In a way. Like, oh, hey, you know, like, you know, it's... and also, they could have done, like, the reverse of that as well. It's like, she could have gone... If she was her own character, you know, not just, like, in disguise, like, you know, they could have easily gone down the direction of, like, Chelsea saying, oh, look, you don't know what it's like to be like this. Like, you know, I have to be perfect and pretty and everything like that because I feel like one day I'm going to give myself away and everyone's going to realize who I am and then, you know, it's all over, effectively. You know, she could be the reverse of what Ruby's going through right now.
Yeah.
Effectively, like, you know, Ruby has to basically be sheltered, like, you know, for and protected, you know what I mean? While Chelsea feels like she's has to be obliged to basically be, like, you know, the high school queen, if anything.
Gee,
you know, like,
what does this remind you of?
What does it remind me of?
Hmm, I wonder if it reminds you of the Owl House.
It, in a way, well, I'm thinking more of it like, you know, that episode when Olga comes home in Hey Arnold?
Oh, okay.
You know, you got, like, you know, Helga can't, you know, get noticed in any way, and, you know, obviously things are dull, but then Olga says, you know, you don't know what it's like to be, like, you know, on the other side of it, where, like, I'm a constant wind-up doll, I mean, like, you know, be perfect for my parents 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I was bringing up Owl House because you have Amity, who is the prime example of snotty queen who is good with her grades, really popular, has this really nasty attitude, but then later on, we get the understanding on why she is like this because of her upbringing. Then we have Luce, in which she is the awkward nerd who has no friends, who is basically, like, told that she has to be normal, and then when she finally goes into a weird world and she interacts with people, then she finally finds somebody that she can kind of relate to in a way because they've had their own experiences with traumatic stuff, and then eventually they understand each other, they become friends, and then eventually they become a couple. So, yeah.
Yo, you would ship Ruby and Chelsea?
A lot of people have.
Really?
Yes.
So you do as well?
Not necessarily ship them, but I could have seen them as friends. Like, you know, I agree with what you said. Like, why couldn't it be that, you know, it started off with Chelsea taking advantage of Ruby being a Kraken so that she can get the Trident and get revenge on her people, and then realizing, what am I doing is wrong. I should stop this nonsense and, you know, get
rid of... Well, they could have done it where the fact that basically Chelsea believes that, you know, well, you know, Ruby thinks that the mermaids are evil, and Chelsea thinks the Kraken are the ones that are the bad guys. They eventually think that, you know, each other are the bad guys, but because of things that have been done for one another.
But that wouldn't have worked in Ruby's case because she literally had no idea about all of this stuff until her grandmama told her.
Yeah, but I mean, but you remember, like, you know, towards, like, in the second, like, the beginning of the second act, you know, her grandma basically says, look, you know, this is the history of our people. Like, you know, mermaids, you know, killed a lot of our people. And then it was only until, you know, someone came in and, you know, defeated the mermaid queen that, you know, this, you know, all of a sudden they, you know, they were driven into hiding.
Yeah,
effectively.
Or, yeah.
And then Chelsea has that resentment because, like, she's told the other side, like, you know, oh no, I was told the Kraken attacked us and then basically stole our Trident and basically put us all into hiding, and I've held that resentment ever since.
Yeah, like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, but then, you know, it's so annoying because, like, you know, then the Mermaid Queen potentially could still be part, or maybe even then, like, you know, maybe, you know, they could have had another antagonist, like, who's, like, just in the background, who basically says, oh no, I kind of lied about that. It's kind of like, you know, we were the ones who were, we were the bad guys, effectively. And then, you know, that could have been Chelsea's turn, effectively. Yeah, but, you know, we talk about this is a whole different movie that you and I are talking about. Like, you know, what we ended up with in Teenage Kraken, I think, was not, you know, could have been a hell of a lot better. You don't, couldn't you agree?
I agree. Yes.
Yeah, like, you know, we've just been talking about, like, some better story ideas that could have been put into this movie, and,
yeah,
you know, we didn't get them.
No, we didn't get them because it focuses on two other main plots. It focuses on the prom. Because, you know, of course we have to have the prom.
Because, you know, high school movie.
Yeah, exactly. High school
movie. Every high school movie has a prom.
Yeah, sure. Like, I remember my prom. No, I don't.
Well, I remember my prom, and yeah, it was nothing like any in the movies.
Yeah, so. Seriously. Like, they over-exaggerate on what prom is. It's not as all cracked up to be.
Yeah, exactly. I guarantee you, like, every Disney Channel movie that has a prom in it, I guarantee you, is not that. It's like, yeah, it's just done for drama and comedy and things like that, you know, and just all that stuff. But, you know, like, I'm trying to think what my next point was going to be. Yeah, so, you know, the whole prom thing, I just think that, I mean, obviously, that's just, like, you know, a device. You know, it's always just kind of set all the events in motion effectively. I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, we thought we were going to get the whole thing, like, you know, oh, she's going to rebel against her mother and she's going to go to the prom. We thought that was going to happen, like, way before the movie, not like right at the end of it in the final act.
Right.
And, yeah, so she ends up, you know, but well, the one thing I think that also is that, and funny enough, they gave screen time to this, which is the relationship between Connor and Ruby.
Yes.
In this, and you know what, they actually are very cute in regards to all of this. And I got to be honest with you, I thought they were kind of building up to, like, Connor was going to play like a bigger role in, like, you know, in all this, because, like, you know, he was on the boat, you know, and it was about to get wiped out. And I get you can't swim or anything like that, but I thought maybe, oh hey, he's going to, like, do something, like, you know, to save his girl effectively. You know, like,
yeah,
you know,
they were playing off.
Chivalry is not dead.
Yeah, you know? They were playing off like a Little Mermaid scene in which when Connor fell into the ocean and Ruby was trying to rescue him, but then she turned into the Kraken and she didn't know that she turned into the Kraken.
You know, when they did that whole thing, I thought it was going to be like, oh, okay, then here we go. Like, you know, Chelsea is going to say to Connor that, you know, she is the one who saved him, and then he's going to be like saying, oh, well, in that case, then maybe I should go to prom with you. And Ruby's going to be like, no, you know, you're going to go to prom with me. And that was going to, like, be that whole, like, you know, another layer and, like, you know, the rivalry
again,
between Ruby and Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been very similar to what happened in The Little Mermaid, in which you have Ursula, who was trying
to... Didn't you get that vibe, though? Like, they were going to make... Because they're already making fun of that trope already with Chelsea. Like, you know, oh, hey, here's this, you know, redhead girl who's long and flowing and, you know, shimmy. They didn't get the whole, like, you know, essence of Ariel, but I think they were kind of doing, like, a really bad caricature of Ariel.
Again, I mean, this is something that you would see in Shrek, in which you have a caricature of what we've seen in Disney. We have a mermaid with red hair, who's beautiful, who's popular, and everybody worships the ground that she stands in. And she's really bubbly, she's really sweet, she wants the best out of people. It's essentially Ariel if she was the villain.
Yeah, and it's sad, really, when you're having to, like, you know, oh, hey, this could all fit in Shrek. You know, it's like, it kind of feels sad when you really say that, because, like, you know, we've already had, like, you know, umpteen amounts of Shrek already, and, like, you know, in regards to fairy tale, you know, parodies and, you know, caricatures and things like that. It's like, you know, do we really need, like, a movie that's, like, you know, got one front and center?
I wouldn't be surprised if the reason why they did this caricature in the first place was because it was coming around the same time as the live action movie.
Yeah. Doesn't that feel the case, though? Like, you know, this is a response to, like, you know, the live action Little Mermaid in a way. Like, it's you know, we saw The Little Mermaid, and we didn't think it was bad.
No.
We thought it was good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is actually one of the very, very first live-action movies we can actually sit down and say, yeah, this is the one Disney finally got right.
Yeah.
In a sense. And, you know, even some of, like, the side characters even improved. In Teenage Kraken, I mean, like, we would expect, like, you know, live-action Disney to do, like, something as bad as this.
Yeah, like Enchanted or something.
Exactly, yeah. And so, it's just sad, really. Like, you know, here's the thing about this, though, and this might be a controversial thing, the conversation I thought we were going to have. I don't think it was as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's not Cars 2 bad.
No.
You know, it's not Shark Tale bad. You know, me, like, you know, DreamWorks have done, you know, underwater, you know, sea creature movies before, and believe me, they've not been that great.
No.
Yeah, they're not Finding Nemo by any stretch of the imagination. Well, let me tell you. But, I mean, I got to be honest with everybody, though. There's some great ideas in here. I just don't think they're executed all that well.
Right.
And so, I mean, if someone had said an opportunity to say, oh, hey, well, there's going to be, like, you know, a director DVD, or, like, you know, we're going to be, like, a streaming only, like, sequel to, you know, Ruby Gilmore and Teenage Kraken, or, like, you know, they basically do, like, an umpteen TV series, like they seem to do with every DreamWorks movie. I mean, like, I guess I wouldn't be totally against that, because maybe there'd be an opportunity to maybe do some story and some characters maybe a bit better than what they did previously. But, I mean, given how the movie's basically ended, you know, given that, you know, Chelsea's now in a cage, basically, by, you know, this, you know, sailor guy. Like, it's just, it's a, you have to forgive me. I can't remember all the names of the characters, but
I don't blame you, considering that they're there for like a few minutes, and then we go back to Ruby and the grandma, and then we go back to the mom, and then the uncle character, and then Chelsea. So yeah, you have like Ruby's friends, whom I don't really remember. Then you have various characters who just kind of like come and go. So yeah, it doesn't really do a good job of getting yourself invested with everybody else other than just the main character.
The one thing I will say about the grandmama character is that I'm really glad they didn't do like the hip and trendy cool grandma kind of like deal. Like,
didn't,
you know,
we already have enough of that in The Cruise?
Exactly, yeah. But you know, every movie, you know, The Lorax even did that. Like, I'm just glad that we didn't have another cool hip grandma. Like, you know, this grandma is effectively like, you know, the protector of the ocean, effectively. So like, I guess, you know, she has some, you know, royalty and like some, you know, some grit, attached to her in that case. Also, she's very hard-minded as well, because like, you know, she had Agatha, you know, kind of like set up to like be, oh hey, you're like now the hero, and like this is your destiny, things like that. And she, Agatha, she plays her and said no, that ain't gonna happen, like, yeah, you know, family please.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And then when she did the same thing to Ruby was like, I don't know, I'm just a teenager, I'm only 15 years old, I don't know if this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And yeah, it's very similar to like the Queen of Genova from Princess Diaries. It's like, you are going to be the princess, you're gonna rule everything, and all the Krakens are cheering and saying, yay, this is gonna be our future.
It's funny, like, you know, I thought this was gonna be, I guess in a way it was, like, you know, her being the Kraken in the ocean is like the complete reverse of where she is like in the human world, and so you can see why she's like, you know, enticed by the idea of being in this other place. But at the same time, she realizes that, you know, the big drawback of this is that basically she is now basically the hero of this place. But, you know, funny enough, like, she then finds, like, you know, a medium at the very end of it where she can have like, the best of both worlds. Like, you know, where everyone accepts her for the fact that, you know, she's a Kraken, and she's actually, like, you know, a hero because they've seen it themselves, eventually defeating the Mermaid Queen. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, she's still doing that now. Like, you know, she's going off into the ocean, like, to save the, you know, the town from, like, you know, that. So, yeah, I wonder if Fury's going to come and knock him for the Avengers initiative.
Yeah, so again, taking a cue from Little Mermaid 2, in which Melody was able to break away the wall that was preventing the castle and the ocean from meeting, now both mermaids and humans can be able to live together in harmony. So again, I'm seeing a lot of similar parallels.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, I tell you what, though, like, you know, you were making comments before about, like, the intro, like, you know, given the fact that we're, like, you're circling for, like, all the people, like, you know, in that, like, you know, funny enough, you know, the DreamWorks right now have a really good opportunity to, like, do, like, you know, a superhero team-up kind of, like, deal. You know, you have Ruby Gilman as the Teenage Kraken, you have Puss in Boots, you have, like, you know, maybe even, like, you know, some people from, like, Monsters vs. Aliens, effectively.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say the same thing, that yeah, Monsters vs. Aliens and Rise of the Guardians are the only equivalents that I can think of where you have...
Get Jack Frost out of that movie, seriously. Like, everyone loves him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, you got a good opportunity, really. Like, oh, hey, all these guys come and team up, and, you know, they go and, like, you know, save, you know, the whole DreamWorks world, if you will.
Yeah, and I guess
and
if you want
to... And Poe in there, too. You got to put the Dragon Warrior in there.
And if you want to include also Metro Man from Megamind, I guess you could do that, too.
Oh, Megamind himself, actually.
Yeah, sure.
You know, wait, because, like, he's the hero.
The villain slash hero, but yeah.
Yeah, the hero.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to include that in there too, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't had that point in time.
But here's the thing about this. I do think there's some good ideas in, you know, Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken, but unfortunately, it needed, you know, and I say this from time to time, every time we have a bad story, it needed to have another, like, sit down, like, you know, refreshing of the script, in my opinion. Like, you know, what's important here? You know, like, what better stories could be told?
Yeah, exactly. What is important? Is it Ruby accepting the fact that she is a Kraken? Is it Ruby trying to fit in? Is it Ruby trying to make peace with the mermaids? Is it Ruby trying to connect with her mother? Is it Ruby trying to find out who she is as a Kraken? Is it Ruby trying to figure out whether she wants to be a human or a Kraken? Which is it? If it can be all of them, have a balance of all of them and do a lot of tweaking to make the executions of them worth it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be funny instead of like in the end, like what was the thing at the end that says Ruby Gilman had to go and, like, you know, fight off, you know, to protect the sea. It was like something like a demon shark or something
like that.
Yeah,
something like that.
You know, it would be hilarious. Like you say, oh, well, you know, the shark slayer is by killing sharks. You know, you got to go and save the sharks. It's like, you know, like, you know, and then, you know, Ruby Gilman's even more of a hero now. She killed Will Smith. Oh my goodness.
I wish that were to happen.
Yeah, anyway, I think we're just waffling, I think, at this point. Okay. So all right then. So I mean, we don't normally score, you know, DreamWorks movies. I mean, we've not done it in the past. We've kind of been doing it recently. But yeah. If I had to give this a score, I mean, I think I would say 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree too. Yeah, 6.5 out of 10. It's not as bad as everybody in the internet made it out to be, but I can see why a lot of people were disappointed with it, especially since 2022 was a major jump start for a new era of DreamWorks, but then it just kind of fell flat again.
It had an opportunity to be like a really good film, but unfortunately it executed all its ideas terribly and unfortunately became painfully average.
Yeah.
And, but even then, like, even some of the average stuff it did, you know, the average stuff it did do well.
Yeah, it did do the average stuff pretty well, but unfortunately in recent years, we've already seen this story before. Encanto, Luca, and Turning Red. And if you want to bring in the live action Little Mermaid remake, sure. But yeah, we've already seen this story done before and way better. So 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so that is it, everybody, for our discussion of Dream Machine. So tune in next time as we're going to be talking about our third Trolls movie, which is Trolls Band Together.
Unbelievable that. So, you know, this is apparently... we've been actually looking at some of the scores of this, and apparently this is actually supposed to be the best Trolls movie, I think, if that's to be believed.
That is unbelievable, considering that the second movie had rock and roll in it.
Bob got us through the second movie.
Yeah, let's just hope that whatever villain is brought into this movie, or maybe the boy band is good. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think I will go into this with an open mind, but I will also go into thinking that, you know, where there were some really good missed opportunities in Trolls World Tour, and will the third movie actually make up for those missed opportunities? We'll see.
All right, but until then, everyone, take care. See you later.
Bye bye.